The basis for the homily this morning is the reading from Acts, verses 27 to 36. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was feast time as the Jews gathered in Jerusalem. Paul was there too, and so were those who persecuted Paul. They said that he had apostatized from the law of Moses, that he had desecrated the temple. It was slander, of course. Slander pure and simple. Paul was innocent. But that's what they said. This is the man who is teaching everyone, everywhere, against the law and the people, and this place, the temple. They didn't care about the truth, they just wanted him killed. The city was in an uproar. And as we might imagine, an uproar brought the attention of the Romans. And as the Romans dragged Paul away for questioning, the people who followed after shouted, "Away with him!" How faithful Paul was in suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. Away with him. What if that was you? Would you be willing to say, as Paul did earlier in Acts, "I am willing not only to be imprisoned, but even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus"? Will you be so faithful? And if you would say what Paul said, would you actually follow through on it? Will you stand strong as a pastor or as a Christian, when the world accuses you of hate speech, for calling abortion and homosexuality sin? Will you continue to pray publicly in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, even if it means that you lose respect in the eyes of the community? And will you hold to this confession of the Christian faith, even if it is labeled politically dangerous, subversive, or treasonous? We all would like to think so. But are you really willing to cause a commotion for Jesus Christ? What if an entire city was in uproar because of you? And what if they came running out to seize you? Aren't we rather eager to avoid even the smallest scrapes and the tiniest run-ins for the name of Jesus Christ? It seems that often we hardly need to be threatened or dragged off because we are more than willing to remain silent and to leave of our own accord. It's far easier to abandon the faith than to confess it. Wouldn't we rather make excuses, apologies? Wouldn't we rather compromise? Who needs to follow the example of Paul when we have already the example of St. Peter? When they approached him and said, "Aren't you one of them?" he said, "Who, me?" Or perhaps we hope that there's some way to escape danger, some sort of Jedi mind trick where we can say, "These aren't the Christians you're looking for." St. Paul was called to preach before Gentiles, before kings, and even before the children of Israel. And yet we ourselves find it difficult to speak of Christ before our barber. The barber's scissors are only for cutting hair. And how can we think that we will steadfastly confess Jesus Christ when we are so unwilling to take up even the daily tasks which are before us, when we are unwilling to suffer and to sacrifice and to work for the sake of our wife or family? And if we complain about Greek and Hebrew now, which our Lord has called us to study, how will we later, in the face of such persecution and suffering, confess Jesus Christ? Away with him. Our Lord should say that about us, but instead it is said about him. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the one who was taken away to suffer, to carry the cross, and even to die. Behold the man was said about him, and not about us. The man, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he is the one who takes away the sins of the world and our sins as well. Even if we should deny Christ, even if we should flee in the face of suffering, our Lord Jesus Christ will not deny us, and he did not flee from such suffering. His suffering is our forgiveness. By his suffering, our Lord Jesus Christ saved us, even us who flee from suffering, for his name's sake. He made the good confession before Pilate because we fail to confess even before our barber. The price has been paid. And this is why St. Paul could suffer as he did. Though they killed him, he would yet trust in God. It didn't matter to Paul whether he was declared innocent before the courts and the judges on earth, but only that he had already been declared innocent in heaven. He had a sure and certain hope. He knew that God would neither forsake him nor abandon him. It's not as if St. Paul's suffering earned God's favor, and it's not as if St. Paul's suffering purged away his sin. Those things were done by Jesus Christ, who suffered for Paul and who purged away Paul's sin. Rather, St. Paul was faithful because he knew that he already had God's favor as a free gift, as we also have. If God was for him, who could be against him? St. Paul himself had no need to defend himself, no need to stand up for himself, because God was defending him, and God was standing up for him. As St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And it is this same hope which we have." And so our Lord still carries on his work. He carries on his work whether we are Paul or Peter. He spreads the gospel to our weak tongues, and he spreads the gospel through our weak tongues. He speaks his word of forgiveness to us, and he speaks his word of forgiveness even through our timid speech. And who knows but that our Lord Jesus Christ may even call you to speak his word before kings and dictators. Or he may call you to speak before farmers and salesmen. And either way, those calls will bring suffering, and they may bring persecution, and they may bring rejection. But do not be afraid, for Christ Jesus has gone this way before you. He knows your suffering. He indeed has suffered it as well. Our Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." And when our world shouts its last, "Away with him," against us, our living Lord will be there to gather us up. Blessed indeed are those who suffer for Jesus Christ and for whom he suffered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.